we're rolling. A lot of good that's doing. And welcome to the Prager Kennels. It's not often the Mr. Tubbs, There it is. I was right. I had to start immediately. You got a glimpse. All right, everybody. Welcome to Fireside Chat number
313.
Lucky 313. You know what? I'd like to hear. It would be fun. I would like to hear from you if you have either week by week or binge watching watched all 312. There are undoubtedly some people.
Oh yeah, we get messages all the time.
And I do want to remind you that I would like to do this, in fact. I'd like to check on some early ones and see and answer the question, are they still relevant? My belief is that 95% are permanently relevant. Because I don't address almost ever some immediate issue unless the immediate issue is so big that it raises issues that are, you know, worthy of being discussed much later. Like, 50 years from now. I know that I've never said this, but it's so deep in me that almost anything I do in writing or speaking, I always think, I hope somebody 50 years from now reads this or watches this or hears this. I think of that all the time because I address issues that should make sense 100 years from now. Anyway, welcome to the Fireside Chat. Did I even say my name? I'm Dennis Prager. I assume you know that. And that was Mr. Tubbs, whom we are training to take his seat during the Fireside Chat. Otto did for many years, I will say. He was a fixture. Okay, I have an interesting subject for you. I always open up with some thoughts on something and then take your questions. Though last week, I only had time for the video question. I can't believe I spoke so long. I mean, look, I my view on speaking is if you have something to say, say it. If it takes long, say it. And if it's short, say it. But whatever time it is, it's got to be worth the listener's time. Be that as it may, the subject arose in a Dennis and Julie podcast. If you're not familiar with that, do check it out. It's on Spotify and a whole bunch of places, Dennis and Julie. So there's a big age gap between the two protagonists. And I've never co-hosted anything in my 40 years, so it's a special dialogue. So it arose. She was an all-state swimmer. She was a very, very good swimmer in high school, a championship swimmer. And we discussed, I don't know how we got onto it, but she mentioned how many coaches were mean. Are you aware of this? That this is how this happened?
Yes. Yeah, because of last week's topic.
But last week's topic was different.
It was, but your mind goes places.
Yeah, my mind does go places. Yeah. Anyway, so she was talking about, oh, yes, that's interesting. You're right. The mean coaches was the subject that led to a different subject. Namely, not being pampered as a child or as a kid. That's right, exactly. So how interesting, because that subject raised two huge issues, and I'm going to deal with the second one now. So she mentioned that she thought that a lot of these coaches, and she admitted there were some wonderful people also, and it didn't matter, it was male or female. This was not a male or female issue. And what she said was that she felt often that these coaches, it was really important to them to have power over the swimmer. It was sort of a power trip. I could yell at you. I could berate you. And by the way, this is what is amazing. She started swimming at the age of 5 or 6. I got to admit, and you know, I'm not for pampering kids. I can't imagine screaming at a 6-year-old. What's wrong with you? Why aren't you doing that faster? You didn't do faster. Stand in the corner. I mean, you know, I just can't imagine it, picking on a 6-year-old. But anyway, so it was a very interesting observation, and that just provoked a whole discussion on people who want power over other people, people who want to control other people. I can't tell you how important I consider this subject. So I have a theory. No kidding. It cracks me up whenever I say I have a theory. It's like almost saying I breathe. So I have a theory. You know, people say often, well, you know, the world is divided between, and then they fill in. And it's often, you know, like the world is divided between the moody and the non-moody. To get an example, and they always marry each other. That's my theory. It's very, no case of two moodies marrying each other. Moodies never marry moodies. They may be miserable, but they're not stupid. They never marry one of their own. So anyway, here's a division. The world is divided between those who want to have control over other people and those who do not. And those who do not, I'm in that category, it never occurs to me to want to control anybody else. It's not in me. It's not in me to be a professional swimmer. I mean, I'm as distant from professional swimming as I am, maybe more distant even, from wanting to control people. It's not one of the battles I have to wage against myself. I have my own battles, like everybody has battles with their nature. That's not one of those things. But it is obvious to me that a really serious part of the human species loves having control over others. This is so important. America was founded to combat that urge. That is the reason for the incredibly, irreplaceably important American value of small government. Is Mr. Tubbs re-entering? No. Okay, he's re-entering, but it's irrelevant because you can't see him. Well, there you can. There he is. There he was. America was founded on the idea that people should not control other people. In fact, the ultimate ideal was people control themselves and that they are obedient to God. That's why in God we trust is one of the mottos of the country. That is why the belief is that in the Declaration of Independence of the United States of America, we have certain inalienable rights and they come from the Creator. They don't come from human beings because human beings don't give us our rights and they can't curtail our rights. It's of enormous consequence. Communism is the opposite. Almost fascism, communism, Nazism, they're all control of others, control of whole societies, controls of hundreds of millions of people, ultimately. There are so many examples of this, and I gave a couple to Julie in that podcast. For example, I'll give you a little example, but it's so, I think, it so exemplifies my point. What are they called? Crossing guards? You know, people who go, okay, you come now. I am not knocking these people. They do a very important job, especially at airports and especially with children's buses, school buses. But it is clear on occasion that they really revel in their power to stop a car or tell people to move. And it's harmless and it's fine. But it's like this is their one opportunity in life to have control over others. And it's clear. So there is this yearning, not in everybody. Like, I don't think Megan has it. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
Yeah? All right. Nathan, on the other hand, ooh, oh my God. His middle name is Control. That was a joke. I have not spotted that at all in Nathan.
Less than me.
Even less than you? Yeah. Is that true? Would you say you really don't have it? Yeah? So it's a terrible trait. In the micro, that is the personal level. I mean, people who have a member of a family who's what we call a control freak, that's a very harmful thing to have in family life. And people whose parents are like that, and they never, look, obviously you have to control a five-year-old in many ways. You can't go there. Don't, you know, like I'll never forget my older son when he was about five. He announced that he's Superman and jumped out the window. David, ask him about this. I'm Superman. I can fly. And it was too late when I announced, you can fly. Actually, it's not possible. I mean, thank God it was not that high up. I mean, you know, he sprained an ankle or something. But anyway, clearly you have to control the behavior of a kid. That's clear. They can't do anything they want. The ideal is you teach people to control themselves. But in general, I mean, I know people in their 20s, in their 30s, whose parents are still trying to control them. That's really sad, and it's a very tough life. Or spouses who want to control their spouse. I mean, these are very unfortunate things in life. In the macro, it's really a catastrophe where people want power over other people. So we are living an expression of it. In my view, the further left you get, not in my view, take back the words in my view. This is not an opinion, this is a fact. The further left you get, the more control personalities it appeals to. So that when I think about this, when I hear, for example, that there are a lot of people on the left who want to control your thermostat in your house, of course, it's always for some others. It's not because they love control, no. It's because they're fighting climate change. There's always a reason. They never say it's because we love to control your behavior, but that's all it is about. That is what it is about. You can't use plastic straws. There is a joy in a certain percentage of people in being able to control the behavior of a majority of their fellow citizens. I don't get it any more than I get it on the micro level, but please understand, it's as unhealthy macro as it is micro, and it comes from a dark place in the human species, the desire to control people. You may not do this, you may do that, you may not, you cannot, and so on. And it reaches, you know, levels of absurdity, like with the straws. I mean, you know, have you ever used a paper straw? Do you know what happens to the paper straw after about 10 minutes in that soda or that coffee? There's no straw left. That's the joke. It's funny. A paper straw is as ludicrous as a screen door on a submarine. Okay, that's pretty ludicrous. Screen doors on submarines, you can imagine the catastrophe. I would say that paper straws are in that category. This desire to control others is one of the dark parts of human nature, but it is not at all universal. There are certain dark parts that are universal. Most people, for example, let's see, what's a dark part? Well, no, dark parts are very rarely universal. I was going to say most people are sort of naturally lazy. And I think that's true, but not all. Like Alan Estrin is not naturally lazy.
Right.
I am, just for the record. One of the biggest reasons I do so much is that if I don't have to do something, I won't do it. So I take on an immense number of obligations because then I have no choice. If I had a choice, I'd basically play all day. I would. I admit it. And I love my work. I want to make that clear. But this is less common. I would say there are more lazy people than there are people who want to control other people. I'll tell you, there might be a cousin to that trait, and that is jealousy, because the jealous want to control other people. And that's another horrible trait that people have, which is fairly common, but not universal. So I just wanted to leave you with two big thoughts. The desire to control others is the dark aspect of leftism. And the bright part of Americanism was basically, we'll leave you alone. When the state, the government, says we will do you a favor, we will give you something, a free lunch, free daycare, benefits, financial benefits. There is no example of that not coming with the price of control. There's one college, Hillsdale College, that takes no money from the government. Virtually every college in the country takes money from the government. That means that only Hillsdale and those handful of others that don't take can do what they want. The moment the state funds you, you are already ceding control of your life, of your institution, more to the government. And that is a big part of why the left is for more and more benefits, because it always means more and more control. Always. There's no such thing as the state doing X for you, but not taking over more of your life. And people are okay with it. As I have said over and over, liberty is not a human instinct. It is a value, not an instinct. People much rather be taken care of than be free. That's the sad fact of human nature. And now let's go to the video question. By the way, we do have a game which you're not aware of, Megan and I, when I look at the video person and I try to guess his or her name. And I got it right once.
You did.
In a few hundred attempts.
It was a very exciting moment, though.
The fact that I remember it shows how exciting I found it. Anyway, did I not? I bet. Here we go. My claim. I think this guy's name is Steve.
It's a good guess.
Okay, yeah. But I knew it. I can't lie.
Remember?
Oh, that cracks me up. You thought I was serious now?
Yeah, I didn't remember remember, and I certainly thought you didn't remember.
I am so offended that I'm shaking. Okay, here we go.
Hey, Dennis. My name is Steve. I'm a veteran in Los Angeles. My question for you is, why is there such a lack of testosterone and so many weak men in today's society, and especially in this nation, compared to older generations? And what does that mean for the future of this nation and society as a whole? Thank you. Love what you post.
Yeah, you're a good man, Steve. I like Steve. He radiates strength, but not machismo in the bad way.
Not power hungry,
right. He doesn't want power over anybody, but he's strong. Okay, so here we go. So, Steve, that's the $64,000 question. This is what I actually grappled with. This is an interesting aspect of your question. Which came first? Masculinized women or feminized men? And I don't know the answer. My theory tends to go toward when men stop being strong, women take up that space. But it's not really women at their best. That's the point. It's because you want masculine men and you want feminine women. Now, I know feminists think feminine women means weak, passive. Okay, that's almost all feminist ideas were silly. Some were absolutely absurd, like women have the same sexual nature as men. I mean, that's as absurd as women can become men or when men can become women. You can think that. Women can think they have the male sexual drive, but they don't. And by the way, I'm not talking about amount. You know, women, especially young women, want sex. Otherwise, there would be no procreation on Earth. I'm well aware of that. My point is number of partners. Men are made by God or evolution to want many partners. Women are not made to want many partners. I know there are exceptions to every rule in life. I understand that. Sometimes you shouldn't stop at a red light. If you're taking somebody who had a heart attack to a hospital. There are exceptions to every rule, but that's basically it. So when women were told by feminists, oh, men love to have sex with no commitment and no emotional attachment, and so do you women, and then they bought into that, and we have more depressed young women than at any time in American history. That's not my opinion. That is all the research that is out there. There are more depressed young women today than at any time since the data had been assessed. And that's one of the reasons. The hookup culture has not made women happier, made a lot of men happier, but it has not made women happier. And by the way, religious people who want people to reserve sex for marriage, which I respect tremendously, should not ever, ever tell something untrue just because they want it to sound religiously acceptable. We cannot tell fibs in the name of our faith or our politics or whatever. Men enjoy variety. That's a fact. That doesn't mean they should do it. But if we deny that, because I read a lot, oh, and men too. Oh, really? It's not men too. This is specifically, overwhelmingly has hurt women, the hookup culture. It hasn't been good for men, but it hasn't hurt them nearly as much as it has hurt women. Anyway, so a lot of nonsense has been told to women, and like they don't need a man. Everyone, well, not anymore, understands men need a woman. A man needs a woman and a woman needs a man. When did it break down with the men? I don't know exactly. I can only tell you that in the world that I was raised, I was told over and over, be a man. I'll bet in the last 50 years, the decline in parents saying to boys, be a man, has been a parachute drop. It was the most common thing that boys were told by fathers and by others, be a man. And now, I wonder if it's even said at all. And what did it mean to be a man? It meant control yourself. It meant get married. It meant have children. It meant support a family. It was all obligation-oriented. It wasn't satisfaction-oriented. It was obligation-oriented. Duty is a male word. I'm not that women shirk it, but I'm saying it's a masculine term. Duty to my country, duty to my society, duty to my community, duty to my family. Duty, D-U-T-Y, is a masculine term. Obligation is. Everything went awry in the 60s. I mean, just, it wasn't the beginning of stupid ideas. They well preceded it, but it was the blossoming of really terrible ideas. So that when masculinity is mentioned now, the word toxic is almost always attached to it. But masculinity, true masculinity, is not toxic. It means you're strong. A strong, mature man is so desirable to a woman. And I have a feeling if you're single, you and you're heterosexual, you will definitely have a good chance at finding the woman you want. Your concern with it and the strength that you radiated to me anyway as a guy picking up on it was very impressive. What's our story?
We could do another quick one.
Just time for a quick one. Wow. Maybe I should do one just questions.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
You did that once or twice.
I did it once or twice? Wow. Which numbers were they?
Obviously,
I got her. I got her. She knows everything about the fireside chat, but I got her. I'll tell you, 207 and 44. What the hell? Who's going to correct me? All right, let's see here. Okay. What are your thoughts? Okay, Rena in Jonesboro, Tennessee. What are your thoughts on naming children? You know what I love? People ask me anything, and I love it because I think about everything. It's good. Some celebrity parents don't seem to take it seriously and give their kids names like Crime Fighter, Dweezil, and Apple. Crime Fighter? This is my, is it a son or a daughter? This is my son, Crime Fighter. Oh, really? I'd like him to meet my son, Dweezil. Yet my friend was heartbroken when her college-age daughter had her first and last names legally changed. Wow. I don't blame her. That is heartbreaking. It seems like some children also go through a stage when they insist they want a different name. That's true. Names seem so important to some and just an opportunity to make a joke to others, yet God let Adam name the animals. Okay. I am stunned when people give their children weird names, like you mentioned here. It's really funny because a lot of people give their dog or cat a human name. Hey, meet my dog Fred. And, right? It's very common. And I'm not even arguing against that. But it is interesting that dogs are getting normal names and people are getting dog names. I mean, if the dog name were Dweezil, everybody would go, fine. How you doing, Dweez? I got a dog named Dweezil. And nobody would, right? No one would bat an eyelid. A crime fighter, I have to admit, would still be bizarre. I have to admit, this is my dog, crime fighter. Okay. But generally speaking, that we've inverted everything where dogs get human names and humans get dog names. I mean, I'm surprised that, has any kid named Spot? Do you know what I mean by Spot? See Spot Ron? That was when I was a kid learning to read. The dog was Spot. It is a very bad idea to give your kid a weird name. I'm being very serious now about your question, and you asked it seriously. I have to tell you, I frequently think gratefully to my parents for giving me my name. The name Dennis has so worked out in my life. It's very uncommon now, but it was very common when I was a kid. Dennis the Menace was one of the most popular cartoon characters. They did a whole TV series, Dennis the Menace. But that they gave me a quote-unquote normal name and didn't think that I had to have all this, I don't know what is in parents, all this attention. Is that the thinking? My kid'll stand out? I think that's part of it. The other part of it is you don't take your child seriously. They're like a pet. That's you're not thinking what is good for my child. You're thinking what's funny or what's cute or what's different. Your obligation should be what's good for my child. So it's a very legitimate question. And it doesn't speak well for a parent to give a child a name like that. Yeah, Dennis has really worked. Megan's really worked. How many do we have at PragerU? What are we up to, six?
We had five at one point.
Well, we never had five Dennises. By the way, I'll tell you a final thought here before I say goodbye. You know what I am stumped by? Why do certain names die? Why did Dennis die? It's not a weird name. Right? It's not. I don't get it. There are a whole bunch of... here's an interesting one. When I was a kid, there were... I can't tell you how many girls were named Linda. There's nothing wrong with Linda. But nobody's named Linda now, right? It's pretty much died. And there's no rhyme or reason. Now, look, there are names that died and deserve to die. Bertha. Okay, I got to say, if I had 80 daughters, none of them would be Bertha. Okay, just... Okay, Gertrude. I have to admit, there are names that really deserve to rest in peace. But I don't know why Linda disappeared. I don't know why Dennis disappeared. It's fun issues. Anyway, I obviously have fun. I hope you do too. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.